Tonight, as we begin a new study in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul, of course, is writing. John Bunyan, when he was in Bedford Prison, John Bunyan spent some 12 years in Bedford Prison where he penned the words to Pilgrim's Progress, which became the greatest selling book next to the Bible in all of book sales. John Bunyan knew what it was like to experience prison life. He was placed there in prison because of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul would understand the very same thing. For Paul would be in chains, but even in chains, in a Roman prison, waiting a Roman trial and later to be executed because of his faithfulness to Christ, to be a martyr, to be slain for the cause of Christ. It would be through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that would move and work in the Apostle Paul's life as he would pen this book of joy. If you can only imagine, as he is sitting in those stocks and in those chains, and even though the chains are rattling, let me tell you, the Apostle Paul still had joy in his heart. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, because his focus was not on his circumstances. His focus was on the one that he had loved, the one that once he had met Christ on the Damascus Road, and his life changed forever. His life forever would be focused. His perspective would be none other than to teach and preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Billy Graham was first beginning his preaching into evangelism, one of the professors of Cornell University came to Billy Graham one day and said, "Billy, you're a great preacher. You have great skills. You have great talents, great abilities, but you're going to have to do away with this message on the cross." Billy Graham said, "It was at that moment that I vowed in my heart that every time I went to the pulpit that I would preach the cross of Jesus Christ." And I think the Apostle Paul, as he is in a prison there, waiting for trial, waiting for execution because of his faithful devotion, his faithful dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book of Philippians is not only a book of joy, he touches on unity in that as well. Now, Paul did not rebuke the church at Philippi like he would the Galatian church for some of the problems that existed in the church at Galatia. He would not rebuke the church at Philippi as he did when he wrote 1 Corinthians about all of the immoral problems that were going on in that situation. Now, the church at Philippi obviously was not a perfect church because it had imperfect people in it. In fact, if you think you're going to find a perfect church out there in life, think again, because humanity is imperfect. And any church that you go to, there would always be issues. There would always be problems. But when Paul writes here to the Philippian Christians, he writes here in verses 1 through 3, he's giving thanksgiving for the memories. Someone wrote a song, "Thanks for the Memories." And so one of the things that I have watched people down through the 40 years of my ministry is this. I have had many people down through the years to say two things that I pray for. I pray that I don't lose my vision, and I pray that I don't lose my mind. Now, you and I are living in a very complex, a very difficult world that we are living in tonight. Now, I don't know about you, but for peace's sake, don't raise your hand, but do any of you ever forget something? Do any of you ever begin a conversation and right in the middle of it, you forgot what you were telling? You forgot what you were going to say? Now, I always charge that up to saying, well, we're too preoccupied with all of the different voices that are coming through our world at the present time. But you know, so many times in the world that we live in, dementia, Alzheimer's, those are great issues in the lives of people. And, you know, when you come to this passage for tonight, Paul is reflecting in verses 1-3, thanksgiving, appreciation for the wonderful memories that he has, his past memories, his present memories, and his positive memories. And in verses 1-3 for this evening, that is what we're going to look at. Paul and Timothy. Paul, you know who the Apostle Paul was. Paul and Timothy, Paul and Silas, by the way. Silas was one of Paul's companions. But Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. Timothy was half Jew and half Gentile because of his lineage through his mother and his father. But notice Paul and Timothy. Timothy would be the young man that the Apostle Paul would take to mentor him, to pass on to this young friend in the faith about the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul and Timothy would come to this city, and as they had been there in times, or as they had traversed through the land and on their missionary journeys, and now Paul is in prison and he writes back this letter to this church to share with them how grateful they truly are. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this or not. A lot of people are journalists in the sense that many people keep diaries or journals and they journal in those. I've seen people take calendars, monthly calendars, and write on the calendar what happened that was significant on each day of the week in that month of calendar events. And they would hang on to those calendars and go back and reflect upon those and look at the various memories that they have. I'm sure tonight, out here among many of you, you have your own memory book. Some of those are written in journals. Some of those are written in diaries. Some of those are written upon the tablet of your heart and upon your mind. And Paul, here in this prison, as he is there waiting for his trial, for his execution, Paul and Timothy, and he introduces his letter as they always did in those ancient days by addressing who they were writing to and who was doing the writing. And so he begins, Paul and Timothy. And then notice he said bond servants. That word bond servants means slaves. They are slaves. They are devoted to a master. And the master that they are devoted to is none other than Jesus Christ himself. So in the introduction of this letter, Paul sets out and he begins to talk about bond servants of Jesus Christ. There's a common salvation here in verse 1 as he addresses this. He says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. Notice he mentions God our Father, Jesus Christ. In verse 5, he'll speak about the fellowship in the gospel. And he calls the saints here brethren. And so these phrases call to remind us of the common experience that we have in salvation. And so what he is setting forth in the introduction, the salutation of this letter, is to identify he and Timothy and to let everybody know that they are slaves to their master, Jesus Christ. And then he shares to all the saints. Now, there are two classes of people in the world tonight. The Lord of God of heaven looks down upon a world and he doesn't see but two classes of people. He sees saints and sinners. You're either in one of those categories. If you're a saint of God, that means you've been born again. You've come to a place where you've accepted Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And so we may be saints, but we are saints that have been saved by the grace of Almighty God. Then there's another class of people all over the world tonight, sinners that have never had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he digs back into the memory bank that he has, and he remembers his own salvation experience. We could go back to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, where we could see the experience that Paul had on the Damascus Road. He remembers the events that first led him to the city of Philippi. Once again, over in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 6 through 12, he remembers the people that were first saved there. Lydia was one of those. Remember, she was a seller of purple. Purple fabric, and if you'll remember, there were she, of course, was a converted or would become a converted Gentile. There on the riverbank is three other women, and she were having a Bible study, and it was there that she met the Apostle Paul. It would be there she would give her heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. She would be a great person in Paul's inner circle of people who meant so much to him. Paul would remember in Acts 16, 16 through 18 about the demon-possessed girl that he had released of those demonic spirits. He would remember in Acts chapter 16, verses 19 to 32 about the Philippian jailer. He would remember about the night that the chains fell from the prisoner's feet and not one of them escaped. He would remember the fellowship that he had enjoyed together with all of these people. And so in verse 1, he is giving thanks for all that has taken place, the memories that has filled his heart. He's full of thanksgiving. He is full of joy. I want you to think with me for just a minute. I want you to go back into your memory bank. I want you to think about that day when you trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, when you were saved, and remembering when that took place, where it took place, and how that all came about, and who were the people that influenced your life, who were those people, Sunday school teachers, those Bible, vacation Bible school teachers, maybe some friend, maybe it was a grandparent, maybe it was your mom or your dad, or somebody that you met along the way of life, and to be thankful and to be grateful. I think so often we get so caught up in life and we get so bogged down with all of the affairs of the things that are happening in our life that we failed to give God thanks for those people in our lives who have meant so very much to us. When I think about the boldness of the Apostle Paul, sharing the gospel message. Bonnie, always think about Cotton, your father and your mother, how they labored in the vineyard for the Lord, and how that there was not a day in the life of her father that he didn't share Christ with someone. And I think about the Apostle Paul here as he introduces to the Philippian people the joy and the thankfulness that's in his heart. He's writing to all of those brethren and sisters in Christ Jesus, he said, who were in there in this Philippian church. He said, with the bishops and the deacons. Let me tell you, there's a common service here. Paul refers to himself as a bondservant or a slave there, as I mentioned a few moments ago, one that is owned by a master, and of course that was Jesus Christ. And so he comes with this, the past memories that he has. And then I want you to notice he has present memories. He remembered an uncommon love. There was a special bond of love between Paul and those Philippian Christians. These people were dear to the heart of Paul. They shared a love that was not found in that common world of that day. Just like a love that you and I do not find in our world today. You see, in the Ten Commandments, the first four relate to God Himself. In those other six, they relate to other people. If everybody followed the Ten Commandments, the world would be a place of love. The world would be a place not of hostility and aggression and hatred and vitriol and lawlessness and violence, but it would be a whole different world. And so Paul, he is so grateful for the kind of love that the Philippian believers possess. Notice he says, to all our saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you. Grace to you in verse 2. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He remembered how good they had been, how that they had reached out and taken care of a need in his life. He has not failed in a prison to remember them, to remember all that they have meant to him for what they had done for him in his life. And he thanks God for this unexplainable, undeniable love that he places in the hearts of all the saints of God and to these here at Philippi. He thanks God for the love and the care of other people in his life. Now, the word does not possess the same kind of love that believers possess. Love in our world today, love is about sex and self-gratification in the world that you and I live in. It's a worldly love, but the love that the Philippian church had for the Apostle Paul was an agape love. That's a Greek term, agape, that means it's a godly love. It's an unconditional love. They had prayed for him. We'll see that in verse 19. They had sent Epaphroditus to minister to Paul in prison. We'll see that in chapter 2. They had given sacrificially in order to support this ministry of Paul over in chapter 4. And this was something other churches had not done for the Apostle Paul. And Paul remembered these things. And Paul was thankful. And Paul was grateful. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you penned a card to someone who meant so much to you in your salvation experience and telling you about Jesus, or someone who led you to Christ, or someone who taught you in vacation Bible school or Sunday school, or some pastor that ministered to you in your life? Let me tell you, Paul remembered all these things. Paul was thankful. Paul was grateful. And Paul's ministry was certainly filled with all the things that it was because of the wonderful way God's wonderful people had reached out to him and had ministered to him in his life. So Paul reaches back while in this prison cell, chained to these stocks and these bonds that he is confined to. He reaches far back into his memory bank. That's really about all the Apostle Paul has left at this point in his life, is the memories that he has. I don't know about you, but as I've reflected over the years, as I have visited with many, many senior adults down through the years, not only in their homes, but when they were confined to nursing homes, and oftentimes what I have found them doing, I found one lady one day, she was sitting on a bench in the hallway. She was way up in years. I stopped to visit with her. I knew that she didn't remember who I was. Her memory had long gone, and she was sitting there, and she had a smile on her face, and she had joy in her heart, and I called her name, and, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm just waiting for the school bus to come and pick me up." Her mind was thinking back many, many, many years ago. And so Paul, here, confined in this prison, he reaches back into his memory bank. That's really probably about all that he had at this point. And he is thanking God for the past, for all of those times that he was able to share the gospel, even though imprisoned and run out of cities. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he usually stirred up a problem everywhere he went because he was sharing Jesus Christ, and the devil saw to it that the cities many times would be stirred up. And so Paul has thankful memories of the past. And then he looks at his present situation. He remembers the memories of the present. He thinks about where he is. He thinks about how things are going. And notice in verse 2, one other thing there. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, Paul wanted the Philippian Christians to be at peace in the world that they were living in. You know, there's a song that says, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin in me. You know, that's a song that ought to be the theme song of the world tonight. Is Lord, let there be peace. And we know that that is really not going to happen until the Prince of Peace comes one of these days and sets up his earthly kingdom and rids this world of all of its injustices and all of the sinfulness and the iniquity that is in the world today. But let me tell you, you and I, we need to be praying, Lord Jesus, send your peace. You are the peace that the world cannot give. You are the peace that the world cannot take away. And so he says, grace to you in this salutation, in this introductory few verses to this church. Grace to you and peace. Grace, charis, God's blessings to you upon your lives, and peace from God our Father. Notice he says, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He remembers God the Creator, the Sovereign of heaven and earth, the universe. And he remembers not only God, but he remembers the Son through whom God came to the earth, incarnate, wrapped in human flesh, to dwell among us, to die, to shed his blood for the satisfaction of our sins. And so in his gratefulness and thankfulness and joy in the midst of being imprisoned, he speaks about grace and peace from God the Creator and from the Lord Jesus Christ the Redeemer. And then notice he speaks thirdly about Paul's memories that are positive. Paul's memories of the positive. There's so much negativity going on in the world today. There is so much that you and I can look around us and see things as they are and wish they would be otherwise. But folks, I want you to know, I think that the devil realizes how short his time is, and he's doing everything that he can to wreak havoc on the world that you and I live in. Paul is very positive in this situation. He's a bond slave. He's not complaining about his present situation. He is just trying to be joyful. He's trying to be grateful. He's trying to be thankful for all that God has meant to him in the past, all that God means to him in the present, and to know that the Philippian Christians are praying for him earnestly. They are interceding to the Father for the Apostle Paul and how much that means to him. Let me tell you, I'm grateful tonight that when Jesus left this earth and he went back to heaven and made his ascension, he sat down, the Bible says, at the right hand of God the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. I'm grateful tonight that he looks down upon a fallen world that is absolutely corrupt and chaotic. But he's praying tonight. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He is praying through the Holy Spirit to move in the hearts and lives of people out there that don't have a personal relationship with the Almighty. We come to verse 3. I thank my God. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Let it sink into your heart and mind, into your memory bank. I thank my God. If you'll remember the Apostle Paul, before he met Christ on the road to Damascus, he was passionate about having Christians persecuted, even consenting to their deaths. He would have Christians thrown in prison. In fact, when he was on the Damascus road, he was on his way to have Christians arrested and thrown into prison when he heard a voice from heaven and a blinding light that blinded him temporarily. And the Lord spoke to the Apostle Paul's heart. And from that moment, Paul was never the same again. After the scales fell from his eyes, let me tell you, he was more passionate than he had ever been in all of his life, because he knew beyond any shadow of any doubt that the way, as Christians were known, first of all, they were known as the way, No wonder Jesus would say in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But as Paul closes this salutation here, he says, I thank my God. I think if there's any one thing that you and I as Christians, we ought to do every day of our lives is thank God. Thank God that you are as well as you are. Thank God that you have your mobility, that you are able to walk and talk and move and have your being. When I think of the many that I've visited down through the years that have had strokes and their voices were paralyzed, who once sat in church, who once were absolutely as faithful as anyone could be, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. And as I have watched them down through the years, I have thought to myself, in the midst of those kinds of situations, are we still thankful? Is it only through the good times that we give God praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving? I believe that every day of our lives, we ought to thank God. We ought to thank God when we go to bed at night. We ought to pray for him as little kids used to pray. You know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Let me tell you, when we wake up every morning, we ought to thank God that we can get out of bed, that we can be ambulatory. I promise you, there are lots of people in the world tonight who complain about everything. They murmur, they complain. They complain about what's going on in their world. And so oftentimes, many of those things are so minuscule when compared to what other people are struggling with and other people are going through in their lives. And so Paul comes and he writes this letter to this church that had been so good to him, had reached out and ministered to him at a time when he so desperately needed their support and their help. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, I don't think it's by coincidence that you and I, whenever we're driving down the road, I don't know about you, but I find myself so many times when I'm out on the road and doing church stuff, and all of a sudden, I believe the Holy Spirit will bring someone's name up. And it's there. Thank God we don't have to stop and put in a quarter and use a payphone somewhere. I'm glad those days are over. I'm glad that we can call people while we're on the road. And I'm grateful for that technology, because repeatedly I do it over and over and over and over again. Somebody comes to my mind and I know the Holy Spirit has impressed it upon my mind to make a contact to them. And I think when Paul made this statement here, and with thanksgiving in his heart, with joy in his heart, remember the book of Philippians is a book of joy. It's a book of joy in the midst of imprisonment and being shackled down. He's got a joyous heart. He realizes it's not going to be too long before he goes home to be with Jesus. He will be executed for his faith. Let me tell you, in the America that you and I have grown up in, we have been privileged down through the years to be able to worship as we please. But did you realize now in America, all over America, Christians are being persecuted today? Let me tell you, persecution, I believe, will intensify as the days grow closer to the end of time. Paul's memories of being positive. Let me ask you some questions tonight as I close. Someone, an anonymous writer, wrote this about the proper use of our memory. Forget each kindness that you do as soon as you have done it. Forget the praise that falls to you the moment you have won it. Forget the slander that you hear before you can repeat it. Forget each slight, each spite, each sneer, whenever you may meet it. Remember every promise made and keep it to the letter. Remember those who lend you aid and be a grateful debtor. Remember all the happiness that comes your way in living. Forget each worry and distress. Be hopeful and forgiving. Remember good. Remember truth. Remember heaven is above you. And you will find through age and youth that many will still love you. What do you remember today? Do you remember your own salvation experience? Do you remember those that have been a blessing to you in your life? Do you remember those that enabled you to be where you are today? Do you remember those who are a blessing around you right now? Do you see those who are praying for you, loving you, and serving by your side? Have you thanked the Lord for these people lately? Do you have a problem seeing good in others? Do you seem to always focus on the negatives that are around you? Or do you look for more of the positives? Do you ever wish you could be more like Jesus in the expression of your worship and in your love? Is there someone you need to call, write a note to, go to, and say thank you? If God has spoken to your heart on any of these levels, I would encourage you to do what the Holy Spirit asks you to do. Amen. God bless you. Would you stand as we pray together tonight? Thank you for your faithfulness to be here. Thank you for those of you that will be helping in the drive-through Candyland at the end of October. And if any of you are interested in going to the refinery, Jenny is going to have a meeting at 6 o'clock for those who would like to be a part of that event for our children, since we will not be doing what we normally do when we have all the food and all of those things due to the problems of the COVID situation. God bless you tonight. God loves you. I love you. And remember this, Jesus is coming one of these days. And the most important thing is to be ready to meet him when he comes. Amen. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, we thank you for the time we've had tonight. Bless us as we go. Please take care of our families. Be with our children. Be with our young people. Be with our elderly. Be with our median adults. God, I pray your blessings, your peace upon the saints here at New Hope and the saints around the world. That God, you would help us to be a grateful and a thankful people as the Apostle Paul was, to express his wonderful joy in the midst of his complex situation. Father, thank you for this good church. Bless your people. And thank you for the gifts that will be given to go toward helping to feed those people from this terrible hurricane. And I pray, God, that this church might be able to be a part of that by giving to help and sharing with the food for these people. Thank you for this time we've had together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.